Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Every Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we talk with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. Willie is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Willie McGinnis. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you. I know we could probably ask this question every single week, but after watching what happened in the NFL last night, it seems more topical now than ever. Does the NFL have an officiating problem?
I don't think they have a problem. I just think, man, there's some impactful calls, and I think that the NFL has the capabilities of getting calls right, every call right, because of the resources we have with replay and the equipment and everything we have in New York. And I just think that we have to start getting it right. Nobody's perfect. Definitely not the referees or players. Nobody's perfect, but we have the capabilities of getting calls right, and I think we have to do that.
What did you think of the two calls against Trey Flowers last night?
Yeah, I mean, once you watch them back, I wasn't aware that was a penalty. I just wasn't, and I don't know why it was called or why it wasn't overturned. Like, why was that a penalty?
What do you think of the replay process overall? Because again, like you said, they are trying to get the plays correct. I mean, that's why else would you have the replay there to begin with? But it just seems like there something's missing or something's broken. Like they I don't know if what's reviewable is right or not. But just the overall process of the replay, how do you think it's being utilized?
Which part of it are you talking about? Like the OPIs or the
well, DPIs? So that part, yeah, that part that they added, but then just the officials going, and then you have you're going to Riveron to figure out everything that's going on. Do you like the way that it's being used?
I think you have to. I think you miss certain things, especially the bang bang plays on the field. Sometimes the naked eye can't catch everything. But you make the initial call on the field, whether it's a turnover or whatever, all those things are reviewable, or you can challenge it. And it goes to New York. It goes to Al Riveron and the crew out there. And they have the equipment and the resources to replay everything at every single angle, slow it down. And the process should allow you to make the best call or the right call for that matter. And I just think that we have to do a better job, the referees, the league, everybody, of trying to do that. And they're trying. I'm not going to sit here and say that, there's something there where they're not or trying to discourage calls or whatever the case may be. But when you have the resources to do it, you have to make the right call. And it's not going to always be in favor of the team that, you think it's going to be or the team that wants it.
Booger McFarland was pretty outspoken in his criticism of the calls last night. There has always been this narrative out there that the NFL doesn't like people criticizing the officiating. Does the NFL Network have an edict about trying not to criticize the officials?
Everybody gets criticized in whatever you do, whether it's in the workplace, in the office building, whether you're an executive, everybody gets critiqued on your work and your production. Coaches get critiqued, sometimes lose their jobs behind it. Players, same way. If you don't play at a certain level or you make mistakes, you get critiqued in meetings. In the film room, and you could be released or you could be, fined or whatever the case may be. So whenever you're working in the workplace, you are going to be critiqued and criticized. I don't think you can avoid that. Now, is it a tough job? Of course it is, because everybody wants a certain call to go their way. But there's certain calls that we say are clear and obvious that we have to get right. That we can't make the mistake, and we got to make sure that we're taking our time and getting those plays right.
Antonio Brown is looking for a resolution and as to whether or not he could play. And do you think that the league owes that to Antonio Brown? Do you think the league needs to come out and say, hey, if he is signed by a team, he will not be put on the commissioner's exempt list?
I have no idea what's going on in Antonio Brown's case. I know he has some grievances out there, some things going on against the league and against the teams. I think for Antonio Brown, this time away from the game has given him an opportunity to clear his head and get himself together with whatever's going on with him personally. I think football is, you know, it's going to be there for great athletes with great skill sets. But at the end of the day, mentally, you got to be ready for that. You got to make sure you're in a good space, and you got all your, you know, your ducks in a row, and you're functioning well as a player and as a person. As far as the league, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what the investigation is, what's been uncovered, what's going on with that. I don't have privy to that information. Only the league does. So I think if he was to get signed by a team, that's when we would get the information from what's going on with all that.
If you were in charge of a team that was in need of an impactful wide receiver, would you take a chance on him? Would you sign him?
I mean, that's a tough question. My first thing would be, could I trust him? You know, could I trust Antonio Brown to come in and be a good teammate, to not have all the extracurricular things going on that are distractions? Nobody's going to tell him he can't have his social media, use his social media, but it's become a weapon, you know, in some cases for some teams, and it's been a distraction. So he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to make a decision going forward on that part of it. When you come into the workplaces for work, what happens in-house inside of an organization or a team should stay in-house. When things don't go your way, when things don't go your way or the situation you're in doesn't work out, you can't throw everybody under the bus. You got to have a level of loyalty when it comes to that. You know, for me, it just thinks it's all about the team and the ownership and the guys in that locker room. And if you're willing to take a chance, and after having that conversation with him, seeing where he's at, will you be able to trust that, you know, you're going to have a great working relationship with Antonio Brown, and things are not going to go south the minute something doesn't go his way?
There's an article in the Globe today about the frustration Tom Brady is feeling with the lack of weapons, for lack of a better term here, that are at his disposal. Does Tom Brady have a right to be frustrated with what he's got to work with week in, week out?
Well, I mean, I think that's always been a question, except for a few years, about the weapons with Tom Brady when they had Wes and when they had, you know, Randy Moss, guys of that nature, and the tight ends, both tight ends. And now, you know, it looks a little bit different out there. I will say Tom has always been productive with who has ever been out there. And those guys have worked their tails off to play at a high level and make the plays. Last year, when you look at the supporting cast of Tom Brady, I thought it was a great group. I thought the guys went out and played at a high level. Of course, there's no Gronk now, but Gronk missed some time last year, and this offense was still productive. At some point, when you're trying to play at a certain level, you gotta have guys at your disposal with a certain skill set to help you in the fight. I think Edelman's the number one. He's a great receiver. He's tough. He's out there. Philip Dorsett has taken his game to a whole nother level, but he has to be on the field. N'Keal Harry's a guy who's on, you know, he's not there yet. I think as far as being ready to go, not only just physically, but mentally, understanding and knowing the game, going out there, being effective. The running backs are definitely, that group of guys are some of the best in the league. So you got all those guys at your disposal, but it looks different. And, you know, I've won Super Bowls when we didn't have the best receivers as far as what the league considered the best receivers in the league on our team. And all they did was go out there and make plays and work hard. So I understand the frustration. I know it's tough. That's the decision that, you know, Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft and Tom and Josh, they're going to have to work out. There's somebody available. There's things that's going on. The way they're going to go, game plan going forward, they're going to have to make those tough decisions and figure that out.
Willie, what's your assessment of Sony Michel? He had a good rookie year. He was great in the playoffs last year. And then this season, it looks like, and I know the offensive line isn't as good, but it still looks like he has taken a step back. His yards per carry is down a whole yard, and he was even losing out on goal line carries to Brandon Bolden and Tom Brady last week.
Well, I mean, the Tom Brady carries, we know that, you know, Tom's notorious for that quarterback sneak, one of the best, you know, in the league at doing that. But I would say I'm not panicking. He's a yard shy of what he's averaged. I'm not panicking. It's only 6 weeks into the season. And I think when you're evaluating teams and you're looking at players and what they've done in their production, there's certain elements, the reason why, you're not as productive or you're not where you want to be. That's why you work on it. It's only the first quarter. Going into the second quarter of the season, it's still early. Guys will start to make plays. Guys will start to play at a certain level. The game plan will change. Sony Michel will have his carries. He will have his yards. He'll have his production. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's fallen off a cliff in 1 year because his numbers aren't where they need to be. In that system, on that team, your numbers do fluctuate because your job description changes every single week. So a lot has to do with the scheme and the game plan of what they're doing as a team versus what he's actually doing on the field.
In this day and age, when everything is geared towards offensive football and making it harder and harder for defenses to play at the same level, is it possible for a team to win a Super Bowl with a middle-of-the-road offense but a great defense?
Absolutely. I think the Baltimore Ravens, what was that, 2000, had one of the best defenses in the league, and I think that defense carried them all the way to the Super Bowl and gave them an opportunity to win. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002. One of the best defenses in the league carried them all the way in. I think they scored 14 points or maybe even 21 points in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, defenses give you an opportunity. And sometimes great defensive play gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl. Hey, and don't forget about the Denver Broncos, you know, their last Super Bowl. That was all because of the defense. The way they played, scoring points and being aggressive, taking the ball away, giving the offense a short field and going out and playing at a high level. So, of course it does.
Of course, the flip side of that is having a really good offense and a bad defense, and that's what it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs have. I think going into the year, most people thought Patriots and Chiefs were the top two teams in the AFC. Back-to-back home losses for the Chiefs. Do you still have them up there, or do you, because of the losses and who they lost to, do you knock them down a little bit?
No, I mean, you knock them down because of their record, but they're still a really good football team. And I broke down some tape defensively of the Kansas City Chiefs, and what I'm seeing is a lot of the plays that they're giving up, the ground game is what jumps off the screen of all the yards they're giving up rushing. And a lot of times when you break down, it's technique. It's not that the guys are bad football players. I don't think Chris Jones is a bad football player. I don't think Clark is a bad football player. I think those guys are really good, and they've dominated in this league. But when I watch the scheme, it's technique. A lot of the plays, they're stunting themselves out of the play, creating seams and big plays for themselves. And teams are doing a good job of taking advantage of what they're doing to themselves and capitalizing off of that. Offensively, I don't think anybody in the league is going to say, oh, offensively, this team is done. They're going through some injuries, major injuries, and that's not an excuse. You still got to find ways to win. But this team is explosive, has some of the best talent offensively in the league. And once they get going, once they get back on track, we're still going to be talking about this team is one of the best teams, and they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be competing down the line late in the season for the AFC.
You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Willie McGinnis, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. As always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thank you.
Take care. That is Willie McGinnis joining us. I think he's got to dance with the stuff that he can say.
You think the NFL Network, they kind of say, listen, we can't dwell on the refs?
They literally are owned by the NFL. Not like they own the broadcast rights like ESPN does. They are owned by the NFL. And I think that even if it's not explicitly said, I think it's implied, let's not criticize the product.
But like the Red Sox own Nesson, right?
Yes. Well, they own 80% of it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Bruins own the other 20%.
And obviously, you know, it's a hometown announced team, and so you're going to be mostly positive. But like Dennis Eckersley, for example, would call out. When he sees it, he's going to call it out. And I think the NFL, because, I mean, you can kind of tell by Willie's answer. Like, he kind of laughs at first. Like, is there a problem? He's like, well, you know, they have the ability to get calls right and things like that. Yeah, they probably don't want to be spending a whole lot of time saying the refs aren't good. But what's going to have to happen is today, I think you'll really find out for sure. Like, how much time do they spend on the calls last night? Do you have anybody possibly trying to defend those calls? And how outspoken do some of the guys on the panel get? Because I think, again, Booger McFarland was getting credit, and rightfully so, for actually taking a stand and saying how bad it was. And just because, don't insult the viewer. We're all sitting there watching it.
And by the way, don't try to talk around it. You know, it's a hard job. We know that.
It's a tough job. It's not for everybody, but these are the guys that have done it. These are the guys that apparently have trained enough
supposed
and have enough experience
to be the best of the best.
Yeah, then I mean, maybe they are, but I guess that's a sad state, right? If these are the best officials, then we got a problem on our hands. And it's definitely not a job that I certainly wouldn't want it. Like that sounds like a horrible job. Like, do you know, have you ever met anybody that was like, I want to be an NFL official? Like, it seems like a terrible,
terrible job.
No, they always
say,
job.
I want to be a lawyer.
Yeah, there's no win.
Or a doctor. I might do that on the weekends.
Yeah, there's no win in that. There really is. Like, I don't know. But something has to be done about it. And you would think the replays would help. And I have a feeling it's gone the other way with all the replays.
Well, that's the point. And I am now more convinced than ever that the NFL, more than having an officiating problem, they've got an Alberto Riveron problem.
Yeah.
Now, it was Pat McAfee in the clip that we played earlier who said he is a terrible leader of men. And by the way, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know where he's wrong. So,
but week after week, we see calls that go to Riveron that are inexplicable with how he then rules.
You might as well flip a coin, right? Like, you go in there, like, do you want it to, the call stands? Yes or no? Like, heads. Then flip it
and
then go. Because a lot of times it doesn't even look like they're really even looking at it. And it's comical when they always have whoever's doing the color that day, whoever it is, former player, and they're sitting there going back and forth without a doubt. And it could be somebody like Tony Romo, who's super locked in. They'll joke about it because he'll say, well, I think the play is going to stand, so it probably won't. Like, they're always wrong.
Right.
Like, and they're watching the game. They have a long history in the game. They know what the rules are, and they always get it. Like, it's such a crapshoot, and it becomes like a gag almost.
During the game in Colorado last week, the Bruins game in Colorado, the Bruins had two goals disallowed by replay in Toronto. And it touched off this whole Billy Jaffe tirade post-game.
Sure.
Not about those calls, by the way.
Mm-mm.
They got both calls right. But the whole idea of replay, and I'm kind of with him, and I'm at the point now where I wouldn't mind if they got rid of replay, period.
Remember last year in the playoffs when the puck went off the net and then they scored a goal and they were like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, we can't do anything. but the two goals that got disallowed for the Bruins, you looked at the replays and you said, yeah, I hate the call, but they got it right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interference. Okay, he was offside. They went to replay. They took two goals away from the Bruins, but I can't argue. In the NFL, after replays, you look at it and go, what the hell is he looking at?
I know. And then a lot of times, I really do think it's just spite. Like, we can't overturn all these calls because then look how bad we are. Right? The refs look so bad if at the end of the year you say, here's how many challenges there were, and they all got overturned, meaning they were all blown calls on the field. So they have to uphold a bunch of them or whatever, like the call stands on the field. They have to do that a lot. And I think they do it going into it. Before they even look at it, they're like, yeah, we're coming out, and the play's going to stand because we can't have a that bad of a record for the whole season where every time the coach throws the red flag, it proved that we were wrong. They can't do that.
When you see replays in baseball, you know, bang, bang, play at first base, which full speed, naked eye, I could see how you'd miss it, okay? It's so fast. It's so minuscule. Then you see the replay, and you go, okay, they got it right. I mentioned the two goals that the Bruins had taken away. You say, okay, I hate it, but they got it right. When you watch an Alberto Riveron replay, ruling and you say, no, no, he's wrong.
Yeah.
Then you got to do away with either it or him. And I don't mean literally.
You want to?
I don't want
dead?
Them to kill anybody.
Okay, jeez. No, it's bad, Dale. Yeah. Not that bad.
You've either got to do away with replay or you've got to find somebody else to do it.
See, I'm not ready to go to get rid of replay yet.
I'm real close.
I understand. I mean, I can sort of see the argument. You just say, hey, what's on the field's on the field. But sometimes when you see something, like for example, every once in a while there'll be a catch that is clearly like the player trapped it, and it's a tough angle for all the refs, and it like one hops into his arms and he falls down, and they rule it a catch on the field. Like, you can't allow, like, that can't stand. And what if that's the difference in a win or a loss? And you have all the camera angles. You can clearly see with one quick look that it was a drop and it one hopped into his arms. But because you don't have replay, you get screwed that way. That's why I want replay to still be around, but they gotta tweak it better. They got to figure out how to use it better than what they're doing right now.
617-779-7937. Glenn is in Pittsfield. Hey, Glenn.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Hi.
Yeah, I mean, I share the frustration, obviously, with the blown calls on the field. But, I mean, I can accept those a little bit more because they're live. Like you say, there's bad angles, this and that. But the more frustrating, crazy part is when they go to instant replay and send it off to New York, that they come back with some of the calls they come back with, that are calls standing on the field. I mean, to me, it just seems like they're, like you said before, they have that safety net of, We're not gonna overrule anybody. I would like to see a system, and I know it's, I don't know if you could do it in every call, but where they're not privy to what the call was on the field. They're given a piece of tape or a piece of film like they would maybe in training that they would receive and say, is this a hands to the face, yes or no? Would you call this a hands to the face? We're not telling you what was called on the field. You make the call. And I think you'd see less of those guys defaulting to the safety net of, we're leaving alone, we're letting the call stand on the field. Because that's the more egregious mistake is when someone else sees it.
That is interesting. As if you didn't, because obviously they always tell you what the call on the field is. Because if they're not sure, it's like tie goes to the runner, right? Like it goes back to
we have to have overwhelming evidence.
Yeah, they say it every time. Yeah, indisputable evidence.
Can overturn the call on the field.
But it's not a terrible idea that if you showed it to whatever the replay guys are, Riveron's.
You
minions,
don't even tell them what the call was.
Just be like, what was this? Catch or no catch? Well, what was it on the field? I'm not telling you. Is that a catch or no catch? Actually, I like that idea a lot.
I don't mind it.
Because then you're really impartial. You're not protecting anybody.
But I feel like Riveron would cheat. He's got the games on.
No, I
mean,
I know. Of course
he's not going to look. He's not going to.
No, you got to sit in like a dark cave. You can't have anything on. Then all of a sudden the screen just pops up and then the light shocks your face. And then they say, is this guy inbounds or out of bounds? And then you got to make a ruling. Actually, I like that a lot.
I don't mind the idea.
I think
it'd be impossible to execute, but that would be the thing where you don't even tell them. We're not even going to tell you what the call was or wasn't.
That's smart.
Was there a call here? And if there was, what was it?
They're like, it looks good to me. They're like, you sure it wasn't illegal hands in the face again on Trey Flowers? Like, no, I don't see that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We have a Kiefer Madness today at 12:30. They are always award-winning.
You're not going to want to miss this one,
gang. I'm told this one is even more award-winning than the other award-winnings.
Yeah, it's going to win all the awards.
Are there awards?
Emmys. It's going to win the EGOT.
Tonys.
Yeah, it's going to win them all.
All of them. Yeah. That's coming up just about an hour from now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
By the way, I've been accused by a texter of burying the lead. I'm not sure if that's Joe Zarbano or not. But I have done it again, and I
apologize.
What'd
you do this time?
Karaoke Tuesday.
Oh, my God. It's Karaoke Tuesday. 90 minutes in, we forgot all about it. I think it was all the hoopla, because Gronk was here this morning.
It was a little crazy in here for a while.
They were packed in like sardines here into the studio just to get a glimpse of Gronk. I mean, Gronk's famous and all, but I mean, that was embarrassing for a lot of people. But anyway, that's another side story. But you're right. Karaoke Tuesday. So Chris Chime, the songbird of our generation, or any generation, he will play us off at 1:55 with just a beautiful rendition of, I'm guessing, a hit song.
Everyone will know it.
He already has it.
I got to be honest.
He didn't like last week.
I think Chime needs a bit of a comeback.
I think he's in store for a comeback.
He's had a couple of iffy performances. One got a D minus.
Yeah,
from Daron Harmon.
Straight up.
The Backstreet Boys one, though, that went over real well.
It did.
That was several weeks ago.
Yeah, a D minus.
We're living in the past here a little bit.
Last week he got a lyric wrong, so
yeah,
definitely major set up for a major comeback.
I think so. I think he's primed. The comeback kid, just like his picks were better this week.
Super hot this week.
I think maybe there's a correlation there. When his picks are on, so is his singing voice.
I like that. I'm okay with that.
The picks haven't been so hot.
No, they're better.
How'd last night...
You know what? I think
going
out. The refs,
I walk by and I hear him yelling in the other room. Oh, they got screwed. Yeah, that's why it's called gambling.
So yeah, but he got screwed.
I know.
He got royally.
Like
screwed.
I got
really?
His hose.
He got screwed. Come on.
I got cooked and porked and goosed.
Yeah, all of it. That shouldn't count against his record.
You specifically asked me for that one because you said, "Hey, do you like any underdogs?" Like straight outright, and I said, "Yeah, I like the Lions."
Because you picked three underdogs previously, two underdogs. I said, "Do you like any of them outright?" And you're like, "Well, actually, the Monday night game."
And there
so
was
you
a
gave
reason.
Us a fourth pick out of nowhere, but you had the Lions, and I thought you were crazy. But turns out I was the one who was crazy.
I had them on the payday pod. Shameless plug.
Yeah,
I had them at the payday pod. He picks the exact
I had them
opposite.
At plus four.
He
it's
picks
just,
here
you know,
one thing, and then he goes the opposite on the pod, so he can say, "Got it right again."
Well, no, I picked on the pod first, so.
Yeah, but you took them plus four on the podcast.
Yeah,
so you won that one there.
And now the Lions now 5-0 against the spread against the Packers.
Wait, what? Against the Packers?
When playing the Packers, they're 5-0
against
the spread.
All time. The last five times they've played the Packers, they've covered.
Yes.
There was an easier way to put it than
what he's
around it.
I like that, though. So keep your head up, Shams.
I'm full of number nuggets.
That's right.
Couple of things as the Patriots are headed out onto the practice field here within the next few minutes. Mike Reese points out some things to watch for.
Yes.
Both Ben Watson and Eric Tomlinson apparently on board. As he says, does that mean Cody Kessler finally gets edged out because there aren't many other spots open?
Yeah, it could be. I'm surprised Kessler's was even on the team to begin with and then has even lasted this long. I do wonder, are they really going to keep four tight ends? That's why I wonder what's Matt LaCosse's injury status? And then even if he's healthy enough
or
to go in a week.
Right.
The next time he plays, you're going to guarantee that he's going to be healthy all game or the next week after that. The poor guy is just dealing with something all the time. And so you went from having two bad tight ends to, with all due respect to these two gentlemen, four bad tight ends. Like, is that really worth the roster
no,
spots?
But these two today may be better than the two you have.
I don't know enough about Eric
Tomlinson.
Like Gronk
was saying today, you know, just upgrade the roster spot. They probably have done that.
They probably have. I don't know enough about Tomlinson, but I wonder, because they don't have a fullback on the roster. Like, this guy's a mountain of a man, this Tomlinson dude. So I'm guessing he's a big blocker. He's listed at 6'6", 263.
Yeesh.
That's a dude and a half. So I'm guessing he can throw his weight around. I don't think he's much of a pass catcher. He of the one career touchdown. So if you use him as more of a blocker, I guess that would probably make a lot of sense.
And the other question that Mike brings up, which is perfectly legitimate, is will N'Keal Harry be on the field? This is the first possible day he can be on the practice field. And if he's not, I'm feeling a whole lot less confident about, you know, how quickly he's going to be able to come back and contribute, if at all.
Well, and of course, you can only bring two guys back from IR. Isaiah Wynn, we're all penciling in as
Please,
one of them.
Lord, let it be him.
And you'd like it to be James Devlin, although everybody we've talked to, Dale, says with that injury in that position,
so.
It's unlikely. So N'Keal Harry, I'm all for him coming back if he's healthy enough and he can do it. But my expectation's super low. I really don't think that N'Keal Harry is going to be able to, midway through the season, jump into this offense and have a big impact. Part of that's on him. Part of that's on Brady with some of the younger guys. I wouldn't expect it. Like, do you think Harry jumps ahead of Josh Gordon or Philip Dorsett or even Jacoby Myers on the depth chart? Like, you might need one of those guys. And Dorsett's already hurt. Gordon's dealing with something.
Do you
so maybe
expect
that's what
Dorsett's going to be able to play Monday night?
I don't know. I wouldn't. The hamstring injury is a tricky thing. In fact, that's what started the whole thing down the road for N'Keal Harry. That wasn't the only injury he had, right. But that was one of the issues that he had. So I would probably sit him out. I know the Jets are better now with Sam Darnold, but they're not exact. It's not like you're playing the Chiefs or the Texans.
Was it Sam Darnold or was it the players-only meeting? The New York papers are making a case that after the last loss, this was before Darnold came back, they had a players-only meeting, and Adam Gase said he was okay with it.
Okay, well.
Because the guys who called it are guys who he knows are doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. No, I think after you have mono, you come back bigger, stronger, faster. Yeah. You start making out with Manhattan, you come back, and you are ready to go. I also love.
Of course, your spleen's the size of Rhode Island.
I don't know if too many people caught it, but Bill Belichick was on, not that they didn't catch the interview, but caught this line in the interview. He was talking with OMF, and he mentioned Adam Gase, and he said something about, and he said something about how he was a great coordinator.
Yeah.
He's a head coach. Well, what about him as a head coach? What do you think of him as a head coach?
He doesn't call the plays, does he? Yeah.
He might. I don't even know if he does. But he's like, and I don't think he meant it to be an insult at all, but it was just kind of funny. He was like, hey, you know, he's a good coordinator. I'm like, yeah, that's probably where he's better suited. But he happens to be their head coach.
Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mark.
There was another play last night in the football game where I thought, and probably everybody watching TV probably thought, was a Detroit touchdown. The tight end, I believe it was, he leaps up in the end zone, catches the ball, comes down with 2 feet with full control of the ball. He's going down to the ground, still has complete control and possession of the ball. He lands in the end zone still. The ball pops out. Why is that not a touchdown? He's in the end zone. He catches the ball 2 feet inbounds in the end zone, still controlling the ball, falls down, and the ball comes out. He's in the end zone. He's got nowhere else to go with it.
It's what's a catch, what's a touchdown,
what's
nobody
knows.
I mean, nobody knows. It's different every day.
And it's one thing if fans like Mark are confused about why isn't this that, why isn't that, where the NFL has got to be really concerned. And we brought this up at the top of the show. If you now have it in the back of your head that there are things that are rigged, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's hard to argue the other way. And specifically when it kind of fits that storyline of, hey, let's prop up Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, and do we really need the Detroit Lions?
Roger Goodell, clown shirt.
That's as good a theory as any, Dale.
We're going to screw the Lions forever, as long as Matt Patricia's the head coach.
But what do they care if the Lions are good? In fact, it's better if they're not. You want the Detroit Lions playing in the playoffs? Wild card weekend? Ooh, the big game with Detroit. Like, nope.
The only time we want the Detroit Lions playing is on Thanksgiving.
They can play the 12:30 game while you're, you know,
and that's fine.
Stirring your eggnog, and then here come the Lions to get smoked by some team.
By the way, is it valid if you're a Patriots fan and you watch Patricia's Detroit defense, and you think about when he was the defensive coordinator here, it was one of those bend don't break defenses. Then Brian Flores takes over; they're a lot more aggressive. Mm-hmm. You like it. Now you got Gerard Mayo / Steve Belichick, and they are flat out aggressive
/ Bill Belichick.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a part of it. I think they showed the stats last night that nobody blitzes less than the Detroit Lions. And not that blitzing is what makes you a great defense, but we've seen the Patriots after he left become
they
much more aggressive.
Everybody after everybody.
Oh, it was as clear as even before this year where the defense is even better. And part of it is personnel. Jamie Collins has been awesome, but they give up a million yards and points to Nick Foles and the Eagles, and then the next year they hold the Rams to 3 points. Like, that's all I needed to see to know that maybe Matt Patricia wasn't the greatest D coordinator in the world.
Kenny's in Rhode Island. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You there? I got a comment on instant replay. I don't really care which sport it is.
Sure.
Because if it's football, if it's hockey.
Baseball,
hockey, you can go back.
Basketball,
hockey, you can go back like 2 minutes,
right?
And they can replay and say, "Oh, you're offside, so that goal doesn't count."
That's right.
But I think the instant replay should be replayed at full speed because that's what the referees see.
That is the Andy Hart.
We call it the Andy Hart.
That's the Andy Hart rule. It's not a terrible rule. But sometimes
I'm not sure that helps you. I mean, I got to be honest with you.
I think slow-mo actually is important, but it's
baseball replay at first base. Replaying that at full time, you're still not going to know.
Yeah, I think it's you couldn't do it this way, but it really should depend on the play. Like, whether it's a catch or the guy is inbounds, I think maybe that should be able to slow down. The pass interference thing is I'm in favor of that, because those kind of calls, the holding and the pass interference, that is kind of a bang bang thing, and they kind of, they're not all the same anyway. Whereas if you're inbounds, you're inbounds. It's as simple as that. What's a catch should be whatever is a catch. But there is sort of a nuance to, is that pass interference, or are those guys just kind of getting tangled up a little bit? And if you slow it down and you see the guy grabbing onto his waist or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're throwing it because of that, that is kind of, I just think more instances look like pass interference when it's slow-mo than full speed anyway.
Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network tells us today the competition committee has a meeting. There are league meetings today. The competition committee has a presentation as well. And Al Riveron, the NFL's head of officiating, has arrived here at the league meetings and will present to the competition committee later today. Much to discuss. I bet the Lions would like to ask him a couple of questions.
They probably are in line there. Yeah, they have some things to talk about.
I don't know what Al Riveron is going to be able to tell anybody that's going to satisfy anybody, but
keep trying.
But I don't want him killed, just so I can make that clear.
Well, it didn't seem like that a few minutes ago.
I'm against killing people, you know, for officiating issues.
Yep. All right, so cancel the hitman.
Cancel that, yeah. Bob's in Marion. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's going on? Shime, love you, babe. We're going to go a little, you know, degenerate 30 seconds here.
Okay.
But Dale, lay off a man. Listen, I go to Vegas in the winter. The great lines in sports, especially pro football, 3.5 to 6.5 road dogs. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. Love the Houston team this week. And I got also porked on the Lions. So, Dale, step off.
Bob,
stay in your lane.
Bob,
yeah, step off,
Bob,
Dale.
I got to ask,
yeah.
Bob. What do we care what you think?
What do you mean? He's Bob.
Whoa. We don't got to be mean. Yeah.
No.
Nasty.
No, I'm trying to establish your bona fides here.
Yeah, he's mad.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, stick to Bruins and karaoke, sing your Harry Belafonte, I gamble, it's deplorable, Shine's the man, and he had a great line.
He's the guy who sings.
Shime guy. Shime also sings, but yeah, he wears a lot of hats on the show.
A lot of hats. I love the guy. So, you know, I'm just giving him a shout-out. 3.5 to 6.5 road dogs all day long.
Road dog! The road dog, Jesse James! What? The badass Billy Gunn! That's what
the new age outlaws.
That's all your road dog picks.
So our guy on the line just picked a team that is on a bye week to win this week.
I love that guy.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, he's not going to lose.
Shime's hype guy, hype man.
It's always nice to hear from Uncle Bob.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was totally a plant. Definitely.
Well, especially when he picked a team that's on a bye week this week.
He has got
I think
about
he was referring to the Steelers from this past week against the Chargers at +6.
I'm going with what John said.
Yeah,
I
like it
that's what it sounded to me. He said he likes Houston.
Yeah,
he likes
these games coming up. Don't tell us what the games you already picked like by yourself. You didn't tell anybody about.
617-779-7937. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at the bottom of the next hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So they bring Watson back now. Could that be an indication that they are no longer worried about money? And if so, why would you not be worried about money? Because maybe the guy you're bringing back to inject life into the offense is technically already on your books. And there's only one name that would fulfill that criteria. AB84. Your Honor, I rest my case.
Jermaine Wiggins is standing up and applauding at a radio somewhere near you right now.
I'm not sure what's more tired. The continuing case to bring AB back, which even the people making the case concede will probably never happen. Or trying to find a nickname for the Patriots defense. And yes, I'm pointing my fingers right
They're
at you.
They're both good. They're both good segments. I want a nickname and I want Antonio Brown.
I know.
That's in the running right there. I regret nothing. Those are both things that those are both hills I will die on.
A couple of quick Patriots practice notes. N'Keal Harry is on the practice field. So it would appear he will be one of the two players to return off IR. That means there's one spot left. If that's the case, and we hope and pray it's Isaiah Wynn.
That'd be the expectation. Again, nobody has said they think James Devlin's coming back. Nobody. We haven't found a single, even Andy Hart, who loves him. Nobody thinks he's coming back. And you wouldn't really waste it on Jakob Johnson. So it's hopefully Wynn and Harry.
According to Mike Reese, quarterback Cody Kessler is not at practice. The feeling is that he is being released to make room for one, either Tomlinson or Watson. They needed two spots.
Which, again, goes back to when they didn't bring back Ben Watson when they could have. Like, Ben Watson could have played each of the last two games, and he didn't. And Bill Belichick said they didn't have a roster spot. And then now they're going to cut a guy who was on the roster to make room for him. So you did have a roster spot.
It would appear that that's
what they're gonna do. It's got a money thing, isn't it? Because I'm sure Watson's coming back at a different price. We haven't heard that yet.
Nope.
But wouldn't you imagine he's now at the minimum?
We haven't even heard officially he's back, although we see him on the practice field.
So he won't confirm that he's there. Belichick won't until he's played in three games.
Neither Josh Gordon nor Matt LaCosse are at practice. LaCosse we didn't expect would be.
Because they're not going to keep four tight ends, I wouldn't imagine.
Josh Gordon is not out there right now.
That's not great.
And according to Matt Doloff, there is someone out there in the newly cursed number 17.
Antonio Brown. Did he say? Is it Antonio Brown?
I don't think it's Antonio
Unlikely.
Brown.
Unlikely. We may have heard that by now. I don't think that one would sneak up on us. So maybe somebody new to the practice squad that they sort of added there, because that Tomlinson dude's going to wear 82, according to Reese.
And 60 seconds ago, Isaiah Wynn tweeted out, betting the house on the man in the mirror.
What?
I thought that was kind of deep
himself?
And zen-like. Yes.
Man in the Mirror, isn't that
it's a Michael Jackson
song.
But it's
he's betting on Michael Jackson? Oof.
No, he's betting on himself.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Good.
It makes me feel like he thinks he's going to be able to come back as well.
Maybe he'll play three games in a row next.
Maybe.
I hate to be negative when it comes to this guy, but he's had a hard time staying on the field. He's had a difficult time playing, hasn't he? Yeah. So now we know Isaiah Wynn, big Michael Jackson fan.
Karaoke's early today.
Yeah, we're not doing Michael Jackson on the show. You can turn this off.
Let me just give it off.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll give you one other one who's not at practice today if you want to gin up some more Keefspiracy.
Okay.
Michael Bennett's not at practice today.
Boy. Who had him cut like 3 weeks ago? Was it? I forget who it was.
Oh, that'd be you.
That's right. That's right. He has played less every single week, so it's only a matter of time until he doesn't play at all. It's amazing that's also been the case. And I don't know if they're doing that. I can't imagine they're doing that on purpose, like they know exactly how many. But the fact that his snap percentage has gone down six consecutive weeks. And because, the last couple of weeks, they've been kind of close. So easily, he could have played more week six than in week five or whatever, just so it's not just a straight arrow down for him. But that's what it's been. And if you're looking to, now you wouldn't save a ton of money by getting rid of him because there's some guarantees tied up in it. But, and again, I don't even know if this means he's gone or anything like that. But I could see you could trade Michael Bennett potentially or just end up cutting him loose. That would not shock me in the slightest.
According to my Nesson colleague, Zach Cox,
yes.
Young Waku, as you know, is gone. Jason Vanderlaan, who was a practice squatter, is gone. Dan Skipper is gone.
Dan Skipper, terrible tackle.
There is a new offensive lineman in the number 67.
Oh.
And as we mentioned, among those not practicing today, Josh Gordon is not there. Matt Lacoste is not there. We think we know why on both cases.
Both knee injuries.
Cody Kessler is not there.
Cut.
And Michael Bennett is not there.
Cut. Probably cut. Right? Or traded? Well, or I mean, it could be in. He could have an illness for all we know. We'll find out more later today.
Well-earned day off, probably not.
Yeah. You know,
they just had several of those.
You got to be so gassed from your 11 plays last game that, you know what, you don't need to practice on Tuesday.
Eric Tomlinson is wearing number 82. Of course, with N'Keal Harry back, he's wearing number 15.
So we'll see. Do you think N'Keal Harry has any impact on the team going forward? This season.
I think you're going to see him.
Impact. Does he have any impact?
Yeah, I think he will. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and score 10 touchdowns.
I don't think he does.
I think he'll make some
value.
Offensive plays for them.
I hope so, because they could use him. They could use could use somebody at that position to make some plays.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got to talk about LeBron James because Rich has just
this
been
guy.
Waiting
Incredible.
For this opportunity.
Incredible.
LeBron, statesman. Coming up next, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.